All right. Yesterday, you know that we went to the Sight and Sound Theater, and it was great. It was fantastic. And so tonight, I had a message on Jonah. I'm putting it in the back of my Bible. I think I'm going to do something different. I want you to go to John's Gospel chapter 10 tonight again. We were in John's Gospel chapter 10 this morning. And I want to look at some other things in John's Gospel chapter 10 this morning. We spoke about the shepherd and we spoke about the sheep. Tonight, I want to speak about this. The enemies of the Christian and the church. The enemies of the Christian and the church. And I'm not going to go long. I'll try to have you out here in just a little bit. But if we have time, there are three. All right. Verse number 1, John's Gospel, chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Let me pray, and then we'll get to the message. Father, I pray that tonight you'll give us wisdom and understanding in thy word regarding the enemies that battle against our souls individually, that battle against our families, and a battle against the church collectively. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as I said here just a moment ago in John's Gospel chapter 10, you find three enemies in regard to the Christian. And you'll notice in verse number 1 again, it says, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. All right, so the first enemy that we want to speak about tonight is this one whom the Lord refers to as a thief and a robber. And in regard to the one who is a thief and a robber, that is the devil. That's who he's talking about there in verse number 1. The thief and the robber is Satan or the devil. Now you'll notice something there. All right, in verse number 1, he talks about the sheepfold. All right, and we said the sheepfold is heaven. And he talks about the door into the sheepfold. In order to kind of understand what the Lord's talking about here in John's Gospel chapter 10 in regard to the shepherd, the sheep, the sheepfold, all right, you have to realize kind of how this thing of being a shepherd in care of sheep worked back in biblical times, let's say in the land of Palestine. All right, in a community, all right, you'd have many men that were shepherds. They had their own flocks. In the day, they would take their flocks out to the pasture places, and those sheep would graze, and in the evening, they would return just like you to go home. Okay, and when they came back to their community, there'd be a sheepfold, which was a community sheepfold, if we could use that type of term, and it was for all the shepherds. All the shepherds would bring their sheep into this sheepfold. It would be a walled structure. Maybe the wall would be made of stone, 8 to 10 feet high, and there would be a doorway. Okay? And so a shepherd would come in, he'd bring all his sheep into the sheepfold, he'd leave. Another shepherd would come, he'd bring all his sheep into the sheepfold, he'd leave. Another shepherd would come, bring all his sheep into the sheepfold, he'd leave. So all the sheep of these various shepherds would be in the sheepfold. All right? And then at the door, there would be, you read about here in the context of John's Gospel, chapter 10, a porter. A porter. That was a person whose responsibility or job it was to stand, to be stationed in that doorway to prevent a thief, a robber, or a predator from getting in to do any type of harm to the sheep. You understand? Now in the morning, all right, you'd have all these sheep from various shepherds. In the morning, they would come to take their sheep out to pasture, and they would enter into the door. You see, the shepherd had to go through the door. That's the right way that the shepherd would take care of his sheep. And he was going to do what? He's going to lead them out. So he would stand at the doorway, and you know what he'd do? He'd have a distinct call. And all the sheep that were part of his flock would respond to the call of that shepherd, and he would lead them out. And then the other shepherd would come, and he would give his call, and all the sheep would respond. They'd know his voice. My sheep, Jesus said, what? Hear my voice, and they follow me. See, this is what this is all. This is they understood that, because you see, that was the way they lived. And so Jesus is making that analogy in regard to the shepherd, the sheep, and the sheepfold, in regard to how those people live their daily lives. All right, so what I'm wanting you to realize here is this. You see, there was one doorway, and the shepherd doesn't go over the wall. The thief and the robber goes over the wall. The shepherd goes through the designated door. Now, Jesus is the shepherd, and he goes through the door. We talked about the sheepfold being heaven, and there's a doorway into heaven. And if you want to get to heaven, you know what? There's only one way. There's only one way. No, right here. No, Jesus is not. It's through Christ. Yes, salvation is through Christ. But what I'm saying is, to get into there, to get into that place, you got to go the designated way. You got to go the right way. There's only one way. Okay? But the thief is this. The thief is going to do what? He's going to try to get in some other way. That's the devil. Isaiah chapter 14. Go there real quickly. I'll show you. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12. Isaiah 14, verse number 12. The Bible says here, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart." Now look, these are the I wills of Satan. He has five I wills. Notice what he says. "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation of the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." That's the thief. That's the robber. You see, that's wanting to get where? Into heaven. Into the sheepfold, some other way than the right way, the lawful way, the designated way. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right, go back to John's Gospel, chapter 10. And verse 4 says, "When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." See, we talked about that. Christians hear the voice of the Lord. They know the voice of the Lord. They follow the Lord. Verse number 5, notice what it says. "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." As we said, when that shepherd would go into the sheepfold, he would give his call, and those sheep that belonged to him would follow him. If it was another call, another voice, they're not going to follow that voice. They don't follow the voice of a stranger. Now that word stranger, you read about that word, especially in the Old Testament. Okay, you know what a stranger is in the Old Testament especially? It's someone who was born outside of the land. Go in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. Find Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Here Moses is giving to the nation of Israel some instruction on what to do when one day they desired to have a king. Verse number 14 says of Deuteronomy chapter 17, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a, there's the word, stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. So God's saying, listen, when it comes time to have a king and you desire a king, your king is to be from your brethren. He's supposed to be a Jew. All right? You cannot have a king who is a stranger, someone who's born outside. That's what a stranger is. Someone who's born outside. Someone who's not born of Israel. All right? And so here we're talking about someone who is a thief, someone who is a robber, someone who wants to get into the sheepfold another way, and he is a stranger. Okay? He's not born as we are, right? We've been born a second time. He doesn't have that birth, so he is a stranger. All right, so when the stranger comes along, you know what he is not? He's not my king. Right. He's not my king. The devil is not my king. He's a stranger. But you know what? There's someone that's coming along. He's a shepherd. He's a king. And the sheep, not the sheep of God, not the sheep of God, but the sheep of the world are going to embrace this king, and he is going to become their shepherd and their king. All right, Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse number 11, he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. When you go in your Bible to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, you can get there real quickly, Zechariah. Zechariah, two books before Matthew, Zechariah chapter 11. Verse number 15. Zechariah chapter 11, verse number 15. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee the instruments of a, look what it says, foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that are cut off, neither shall he seek the young one, nor heal that which is broken, nor feed that which is standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Now look at verse 17. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword, shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. All right? So everything, you understand this, everything that the devil does is a counterfeit of what God does. You want to find out what the devil's going to do? You just see what God has done, and then the devil counterfeits it. All right? The Lord Jesus says, I am the what? Good shepherd. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse number 11. So you understand this, that the devil's going to come along in the person of the Antichrist, and he is going to be a shepherd, but not a good shepherd. The Bible refers to him here as a foolish shepherd and as an idle shepherd. Now, remember this morning we were speaking about, the shepherd, and we talked the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we talked about how the sheep, as we said, hear the voice of the shepherd. They know the voice of the shepherd, and we are to follow the shepherd. And we gave you the illustration that the closer you are to the shepherd, the more you will know. And you will understand. And we gave you the illustration in John's Gospel chapter 13, the night before the Lord was crucified. He makes the announcement to his disciples that one of them is going to betray him. And they begin to say, Lord, who is it? And Peter, who's seated at that table, says to John, whose head is on the bosom of the Lord, he says, tells him, ask him. And John asks the Lord, and remember, the Lord says that it's he, all right, who taketh of the sop, my hand, dippeth the bread into the dish, and he taketh the sop, and he gives it to Judas Iscariot. He whispers that in John's ear. The only one at the table who knows that is John. All the other apostles are there, but the one that's closest to the Lord, John, whose head is on Jesus' bosom, he gets the information. He knows what nobody else at the table knows. He's the closest one to the Lord. Remember, we told you John is a type and a picture of the church. All right, so what I'm saying to you in this is this, that in all possibility, there's this possibility that the Antichrist is going to show up before the rapture takes place. And the Bible just told you what to look for. He's a foolish shepherd. He's an idle shepherd. And if anyone's reading the scripture, somewhere along the line, this guy is going to have a blind right eye and a dried up arm. But the only ones that are going to know who it is are the ones that are either, yes, saved, but are close to the Lord. Just like we talked about, the Lord's coming back. When the Lord came the first time, you know what? There were a few people that knew that he was going to show up. The kings from the Far East. They came, they knew he had showed up. All right, Simeon knew, Anna knew. But all the rest of Israel didn't know. And so you know what? Why did they know? Because they were searching the scriptures. They were walking with God. And so there's a good possibility that before the Lord returns, you see, some of us might be able to know when he's going to come back. But it's only going to be the only ones that's going to know are those who are walking close to the Lord. Because the problem with Christianity today is this. They're caught up. I'm talking about Christians. Are caught up with the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. If I asked you to eat this evening, I'm just trying to make a point, so don't misunderstand me. If I was to ask, especially some of the men, in regard to what's going on in the NBA in regard to the playoffs, some of you guys could tell me. But you couldn't quote the Bible verse that we had from 2 weeks ago. You see what I'm talking about? I'm not telling you that it's sinful or wrong to know what's going on in the NBA playoffs. I'm just telling you we get our priorities out of kilter, you see? And we don't put our priorities in the right place. And we get too many things on us. Do you understand what I'm talking about? One time D.L. Moody was preaching in a great meeting, and Ira Sankey was leading the music, and he said, Mr. Moody's going to come out and preach to you tonight in a way that you've never seen him before. All right, and it came time for him. Everyone was wondering, how's he going to come out? And when he came out ultimately to preach, he had this great pack on his back. You know, and everyone's looking at him, and he says, do you think that I could preach as I normally do with this great pack upon my back? And he says, then I want you to realize something. He said, there's nothing sinful in this. There's no liquor bottles in here. There's nothing wicked in here. And he began to unload the thing that was on his back. And you know what? It was just loaded up with clothes and this and that and, you know, stuff that was stuff. Okay, all right, but what he was trying to say to those people was, listen, I'm weighted down. I'm weighted down not with bad things. I'm weighted down with what we refer to as good things. But it's still a weight, and it's still going to hinder me or prevent me from doing what I usually do to the very best of my God-given ability. And that's how we get. You see, out of kilter in regard to our walk with the Lord. But let's go back to John's Gospel, chapter 10. All right, so we know who the thief and the robber is in this parable that the Lord's given. And then notice what he says in verse number 10, the thief. We know who that is, the devil. And notice his intent. He cometh not but for to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the devil's intent. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you know, each one of those things is progressive. It gets worse. All right. Now, for instance, in this passage of Scripture, the devil is described as a thief and a what? Robber. A thief and a robber. I can steal from you, you can steal from me, and never harm you or touch you. You just have something, a thief comes along, and what does he do? Without your knowledge of it, he takes it. You might not even be home. Someone can bring it to your house, you're not there, and they just go through your house, and anything that's valuable, they take. But robbery is something different. You see, if you're going to rob somebody, you have to accost somebody. You have to do some type of, in all likelihood, violence to that person or attempted violence to that person to force them to give to you what they have. So the devil is going to steal from you. And you know what? If he can't just take it from you by deception, because that's how he'll get it from you, by deception. All right, he got the woman to sin in Genesis chapter 3. How? By deception. And you know what? He stole something from her. He robbed her of her purity and her ability to walk with the Lord, didn't he? But sometimes he'll come and he'll rob you with force. He came along to Job, and you know what he did to Job? He used force on him. He had to get permission from God, right? But it wasn't just a deception like with Eve. He came to Job, he killed his children. He came to Job, he took all his wealth. He came to Job, he touched his body. It's another step beyond just stealing. All right? He comes to steal, and he comes to what? Rob. And Christian, I want you to realize something. He can't get your soul. But he can rob you of a whole lot of stuff. He can rob you of things spiritual like peace and joy and thanksgiving. He can take things from you, not just things spiritual. He can take other things from you. He'll rob you if you allow him to. And his whole other intent is to what? Kill. And to what? Destroy. Damn a soul to an eternal hell. That's the enemy. All right? Enemy number one. All right? Enemy number two. You read about someone down here. Oh, if you go all the way down, let's say let's pick it up in verse number 10 and read a little bit. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. I'm come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 12. But he that is the what? Here's the next one. What is he? An hireling. And not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Okay. Now here's a man, you know what he is? Now, think of that. Jesus even made a statement like this one time. He said, the laborer is worthy of his hire. All right, so he's saying, you know what? Here's a man that works, and because he's worked, he's worthy to be paid for what he has, what he has done. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But what we're talking about here is a man now is employed, and his employment is the care of sheep. But here's the thing that I want you to realize in regard to this guy. All right, this guy doesn't care for the sheep because he has a calling. This man doesn't care for the sheep because he's a shepherd specifically to that flock. This man has just got a job. He's just got a job. He's in it, and it's not necessarily bad, but he's getting a paycheck. But outside of the paycheck, you don't care. And you see, if there's going to be a cost involved, he's not going to pay it. Or if there's going to be even a danger, he's not going to deal with it. He is sayonara baby. You want an example of a hireling? He's found in the Old Testament, but he's spoken about in the New Testament in about three places. And one place that he's spoken about is in 2 Peter chapter 2. In verse number 15, the Bible says, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. Listen what it says about Balaam here. Who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. You know the story of Balaam? He sold out his spiritual gift, or he wanted to sell out his spiritual gift, all right, to King Balak, because Balak was willing to pay him money to do it. And he ultimately, it's Old Testament, it's not New Testament, he loses his soul. He's in hell. But you understand this. Balaam was just a hireling. Hireling. You want someone to minister to you that's going to be a shepherd, not an hireling. You see, I said I'm not going to take a lot of time. I said I got three. I gave you two real quickly. Got one more. All right. The last one that you read about here in John's Gospel, chapter 10, is a wolf. Look at verse number 12. It says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them. Notice what it says, and scattereth the sheep. All right, so you got the thief and the robber, that's the devil. You got the hireling, that's the man that sells himself out for money. All right, and then you got the wolf. The wolf. Now, you can find some things. You know what? The wolf doesn't kill the sheep. That's what we think. You know, you think about a wolf, you think about sheep. You think about a wolf killing sheep. But that's not what Jesus said the wolf does here. What does the wolf do? He scatters the sheep. He scatters the sheep. And remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said back, let's say, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Let me give you just a verse of scripture. The Lord said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And so when the wolf shows up, he doesn't show up like the big bad wolf. The wolf shows up adorned and dressed like a sheep. He looks like a sheep. He acts like a sheep, but he's a wolf. Amen. And his intent is to scatter the flock. Remember what the Apostle Paul said. I'll give you one last place and I'm done. Acts chapter 20. Paul's speaking to the pastors. You know what a pastor is? A shepherd. All right, so he's talking to the pastors here from Ephesus, and he's giving them instruction because he knows this is the last time he's going to see them. And look at what he says in verse number 29, Acts chapter 20. He says, "For I know this, that after my departing," he says, "shall grievous wolves enter in among you." Notice what he says, "not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Now we're just a church or an ecclesia, a called out assembly, called out from the world. Okay, and because we believe the Bible, the King James Bible, is the Word of God, and we can stand for it and prove it, and because we can rightly divide, the Bible dispensationally, and because we know a lot of stuff about the Bible, doesn't mean that we're exempt from these enemies. Doesn't mean that the devil's not going to come through that door. He's going to come through the door. To steal, to kill, to destroy. Doesn't mean that a hireling's not going to come through that door. Doesn't mean that a wolf is not going to come through that door. They're going to come. You know what my responsibility as a Christian is? Stay close to the shepherd. The closer I am to the shepherd, the less chance there is, or likelihood, for the most part, generally speaking, that any of those enemies are going to be able to get to me. Because if they're going to get to me, I'm right next to him. Amen. Father, I'm thankful tonight that I have a Bible.